May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and the Redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the epistle lesson from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with these words, "Therefore, remember." You may be seated. Dear saints, on the basis of this second half of the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, I want to ask you a question. Do you remember? It's God's intention that we not only hear his word, but hearing it, we believe it. And not only that we believe his word, but believing, we remember it. I draw your attention to the first two words of verse 11. St. Paul tells the Ephesians, "Therefore, remember." The word "therefore" draws the hearers back to the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2, which conclude with these famous words, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In light of this gospel promise, the Ephesians are therefore to remember. But remember what and why? Indeed, those words I just read, in fact, this entire second chapter of Ephesians is worth our remembrance. Paul goes on to say that the Ephesians are to remember that they were at one time Gentiles in the flesh. The same Gentiles, the same nations to whom Jesus sent his disciples in Matthew 28 saying, "Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations," all the Gentiles. These people of Ephesus were men and women who were stone cold dead in their sin. These were men and women who walked according to the thought patterns of this world. These were men and women whose spirits breathed a disobedience that reached all the way up to the throne of heaven. These were men and women of Ephesus, who in whose flesh was every conceivable lust, whose minds were occupied only with themselves and their own desires, their own wants, with what they considered to be their own lives. In short, these were people who by birth and nature were the children and objects of God's holy wrath. To people like this, Paul calls out, "Therefore, remember." But this is only a partial picture of this particular people. This was their lifestyle and their description until something radical happened to them. Things changed totally for them, and it was this change that was Paul's real motive behind the words, "Therefore, remember." God, by his grace, had brought them to life through the power of the gospel. God, by his grace, raised them up from the power of death and sin and service to Satan. God, by his grace, dislodged them from their earthly attachments that they may sit together with Christ in the heavenly company of the redeemed. Remember. Do you find that this picture of the Ephesian Gentiles fits you as well? Can you see yourself in Paul's description of these Gentiles? For you too are Gentiles, and you also, by your sinful nature, were objects of God's wrath. You remembered that truth when you confessed your sins at the beginning of the service with the words, "I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you." Therefore, Paul is calling out to you also, remember. Look at yourself. Remember who you were. Remember who you are. But also, look to your God and remember what he did for you. According to the text, there are basically three things to remember from this second half of Ephesians 2. First, you ought to consider the vast gap
which God had to span in order to bring you to himself. Think back for a moment how you came into this world. Paul says, at that time you were without Christ. You were alien from the commonwealth of God's people, strangers from God's covenant promises, the ones he made to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. At that time you had no hope. And that most horrible of all phrases, you were without God in the world. But God himself spanned that gap, the gap which separated you from him. He did it by the blood of Jesus, which alone has the power to bridge that chasm. He took the cross and made a bridge between you and him so that God could bring you from out there to in here, near to God. And the question that Paul simply asks you this morning is this: do you remember? Do you remember that? Do you remember? Do you bring to mind your baptism, through which God washed you in that gap-bridging blood of Christ when he made you his own? Remember? The second image that Paul asks us to ponder is that awesome, impenetrable wall which God has destroyed, has demolished for you so that you could be with him. You and I were once on the other side of the wall, outside looking in, outside in the cold, lost, blind, and in sin. Left to ourselves, we had no hope of scaling that wall or penetrating it. It was heaven high, a heaven high wall which separated you from God and his church. The wall was God's law, consisting of block upon block of commands and ordinances and rules and regulations and laws set in place to condemn you to everlasting separation from God. It separated you from light and joy and peace and rest. It separated you from God's people. But Paul says, in the flesh of Jesus Christ, he destroyed that wall, the wall that was set to destroy you. For Jesus is our peace, who has broken down this middle wall and abolished in his flesh the enmity between you and God, bringing peace. The wall is broken. So you are now inside the kingdom of God. You have taken up permanent residency in the house of your heavenly Father. Do you remember about the wall? Do you remember about how God destroyed it for you? Do you remember how he remembered you? And finally, think one more time. This time, not thinking backwards in time, but think of yourselves how you are right now, here, today. Now, you are one of God's chosen people. You are elect by his grace. You are set firmly on the solid rock, which is Christ. You see, he removed the old wall, and right where the old wall stood, he sank a new foundation in its place. This foundation is not constructed on the sand of human wisdom. It is not constructed on the grit of human philosophy. This foundation is solid, the solid granite of God's divine word, given to you by God through his holy prophets and apostles. This is the foundation built by and as solid as Jesus Christ himself, who is its cornerstone. Look at yourself. You're no longer programmed to reflect the ways of this world. You're now part of God's building project, part of his building program. Like the bricks of this building, you've been set into the wall of God's building by the mortar of his grace, so that you might know the joy of life is granted to you through the blood of his Son. You are built into a new building. You are living stones in which you do not feed on the lusts and the desires and the passions of this world, but on the very body and blood of him who is building you up, Jesus Christ himself. And Paul asks again, do you remember that? Do you remember the new foundation which is set where the old wall once stood? Many people hear God's word, the saving message of Christ and the forgiveness of sins has gone out into all the world through the apostles and those who followed them. By God's grace, the word goes out even today. And many people receive that word with joy, and they believe that their sins are forgiven and gone. But the sad fact is that not everyone who hears believes, and not everyone who believes remembers. A case in point is the very church to whom Paul writes this letter. Within a generation, those Ephesians who had heard this second chapter of the book of Ephesians heard these words from Jesus through the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Jesus says to the Ephesians, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. The building will crumble. You will be gone. You will lose hope. You will be again outside looking in unless you repent." There it is, repentance. Repentance is the stuff of which Christian remembrance is made. When you remember what you were, what you are, when you remember that sin that still clings to you, when you remember that Christ has forgiven all of your sin through his blood, you repent and you remember. In 2 Timothy, Paul says of one of his one-time co-workers in Christ, Demas, he says this, "For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone." How many are there like Demas who believed but have forgotten and deserted and are now gone? But not so with you, for we are not without hope. For we hold firmly to the things of our salvation, God's holy word, his blessed sacraments, and we have this confidence that God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And until that day comes, we pray that God would grant us the privilege to continue to hear his word of grace. We pray that God would grant us the grace to continue to believe his word of salvation. And finally, that God would grant us repentant hearts and humble spirits to cause us to remember his mighty acts and the great work of closing the gap and of tearing down the wall and bringing us into his kingdom through Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask it. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.